punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Looks like there was some rain coming down from the northwest, and it disappeared. It just left. But it looks like around Wheeler and Allison and up by Higgins and west of Arnett, somewhere near around Rowe and Durham and stuff. Looks like they got a shower this morning, so good for them. 80 degrees at Hollis, 77 at Hobart, 74 at Cheyenne. Oh, my, that's a great weapon. 72 at Arnett, 77 at Beaver, 75 at the May Ranch, 75 at Lahoma. And if I was guessing, it's probably the same stuff going on out in the Panhandle. Yep, 74 at Miami, 77 at Dozer, Wallington, you're 78, Childress, 79, and Odell, you're 80 degrees. Oh, anyway. Okay, so I want to clarify something from my show Friday. I hope I didn't make anybody mad. I don't think I did. Just maybe the way I said it was wrong. How's that? So when I was talking about the COOL, or M-COOL that people are calling it, it's COOL Act, Friday, and when I said something about EID tags along that conversation, I wasn't talking about the EID tags in the United States. I was talking about foreign countries that have EID. Most of, from what I understand, talking to a gentleman Saturday, is most of the cattle that come in from Mexico, the heifers and the steers and the heifers are fixed, so they're not going to have any babies over here. They got an M branded on their head. And then from Canada, they have to have EID tags. So I looked up the regulation. Let me find it here. And it is, where'd it go? Bear with me a second here. I got a lot of stuff up today. There we go. Okay, here we go. So our live cattle required that are imported into the United States from other countries are not automatically need an electronic identification tag, which is an EID. However, they are required to have a unique tamper-proof identification that allows them to be traced back to their country of origin. The specific ID requirements vary depending on exporting country and destination of the animal. Country-specific identification protocols for importing cattle. This is off the USDA site, so I'm reading you the regulations. I'm not making this up. Protocols for importing cattle often specify acceptable ID methods. For example, cattle imported from Mexico for immediate slaughter must have a blue metal ear tag, while cattle from Canada may use an official Canada ear tag or brand approved by the U.S. officials. The tamper-proof ID, all imported cattle must have a secure tamper-proof form of identification. The ID must be recorded on export documentation to allow for trace back to the farm where it came from. The 840 versus the 900 series tags, official EID tags for U.S. origin cattle begin with the number 840. An imported animal may have a 900 series tag from its country of origin, which is not considered official U.S. identification. So there you go. That's what I was talking about. I didn't mean to stir the wasp nest up on the EID tags in the U.S. That's a whole different conversation. But this is for talking about the cool. So, yes, and I found out from a very reliable source that Mexican cattle usually have an M branded on their head, for sure. So, there we go. Sorry for the confusion. Okay, what else we got going on today? I want you guys to stay with me through the whole show if you can. Later on in the show, I want to talk to you guys about the September. September is Suicide Prevention Month, and I want to talk to you guys later about that. And it has to do with a lot of farmers and ranchers, so bear with me on that one. First of all, let's go ahead and get started on what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Soybean and grain futures were a little changed in overnight trading as investors weigh expanding drought conditions in the U.S. Corn Belt against slack demand. 14% of the region and 11 states, including Iowa and Illinois, is the biggest grower of both corn. Corn and beans was suffering from drought conditions as of September the 2nd, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. That's up 4.5% from a week earlier and 11% 3 months ago. Weak sales to overseas buyers, meanwhile, kept a lid on prices in the overnight session. Exporters sold 818,500 metric tons of soybeans for delivery in the 25-26 marketing year to overseas buyers in the week that ended on August 28th, according to the USDA. In a report on Friday, that's down from 1.37 million tons a week earlier. The new marketing year started on September 1st. Corn sales, meanwhile, came up to 2.12 million metric tons. That's up from 2.09 million tons the previous week. Wheat sales totaled 313,000 metric tons. That's down 46% week over week and 51% from the prior four-week average. Soybeans for November delivery overnight came up a penny and a half to 10.28 and a half a bushel. On the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal added 30 cents to 284.30 a short ton, and soybean oils were futures were up 0.55 cents, a half a penny, to 51.78 cents a pound. Corn futures fell a penny to 4.17 a bushel for December. Wheat futures for December delivery was up a penny and a half to 5.20 and three quarter a bushel. Kansas City overnight added a penny and a quarter to 5.06 and a half a bushel. Speculators reduced their net short positions on bets on lower prices in corn last week, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held a net 95,197 futures contract in corn in the 7 days that ended last Friday. On September the 2nd, that's down from 110, or last Monday, I guess I'm going to say, that's down from 110,935 contracts a week earlier in the smallest bearish position since May 27th. Let me correct that. September 2nd was Tuesday. Money managers reduced their net long position or bets on higher prices in soybeans, holding 11,416 future contracts, a decline from 19,000 a week before. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment firms were short by 87,276 contracts in soft red winter wheat futures, up slightly from the week before. And investors raised their net short positions in hard red winter wheat to 53,809 contracts. That was up about 5,000 contracts from the previous week. There you have it. Let's see what we got going on. I seen it on the radar, too, just a second ago when I was looking at it. Scattered thunderstorms are expected in parts of eastern Nebraska and western Iowa tonight, according to the National Weather Service. Looks like she's rolling along the Kansas-Nebraska line a while ago. Pretty good-sized storm up there. Localized flooding is possible as this round, repeated rounds, will bring 2 to 3 inches of rain in our forecast for the region. So there you have it. Not much else is going on. No snow in the forecast in the Dakotas or nothing like that. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Hour Day. So let's take an OCA break, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high-pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in five states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that, too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 29th. 1,662 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 291 brought 610. 4 at 453 brought 440. 22 at 577 brought 401. 5 at 653 brought 365. 9 at 674 brought 349. 6 at 752 brought 343. 4 head of heifers at 425 brought 445. 7 at 465 brought 407.50. 53 at 493 brought 387.50. 5 at 786 brought 322.50. 25 at 820 brought 323. 16 at 993 brought 270. Butcher cows were 40 to 189. Butcher bulls 127 to 214. Bred cows 1600 to 3900. Pairs brought 2500 to 4550. Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Now back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here is your ag weather update for Canadian, Texas, out in the Texas Panhandle. 75 degrees, humidity 72, the winds, dew point 65. The winds are out south at 19 with wind gusts up to 23 currently. 0.05 inches of rain so far, month-to-date precipitation. No sub-freezing minutes today, no red flag minutes, 8-inch soil temperature. 74 degrees. All right, let's check out your Central Crop Care LLC out of Hobart, Oklahoma. Does custom spraying. Grain market report real quick. September corn. Let's skip September. Let's go to December. 419, up 1¾. March is 437, up 1¼. November soybeans, 1031, up 4¾. January, 1050, up 4¾. Soybean meal, October 282, $1.20, up $1.70. Soybean oil, October 50.82, up 0.01. Hard red winter wheat, December 5.14, up 9.25. March is 5.34, up 9. Live cattle, October 236.27, up 30. December's 237.97, up 52. October feeders, 359.82, up $1.92. November 358.60, up 245. And January is 353.07, up 230. Lean hogs for October are down about 80 cents at 95.22. All right, let's check out the market reports from the livestock barns. Let's start with Texas this week. Total receipts that went through the sale barns, 4,558 compared to 5,700 last week and 3,700 last year. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers are steady to $4 higher, some instances of $10 higher. Demand remains good on tight supply. Markets traded higher despite the CME cattle boards closing in the red. Temperatures hit near triple digits with a much-needed rain and cool down in the forecast for the weekend. Supply included 72.2% feeder cattle, slaughter cattle 18.4%, and replacement cattle was 9.4% of that. Switch on over here to Oklahoma, and total receipts that went through the sale barn last week, 20,866 head. Compared to 29,530 the week before. A lot of that had to do with the holiday on September 1st. Last year, 16,433 head went through there. Compared to last week, feeder steers steady to $3 higher, feeder heifers a buck to $7 higher, steer calves over 500 pounds, $12 to $13 higher, under 500 pounds, steady. Heifer calves over 500 pounds or $7 to $10 higher. Under 500 pounds, unevenly steady. Slaughter cows, steady to $4 lower. Slaughter bulls, $3 lower. The second cool front of the year has arrived and bringing some pleasant temperatures. Timely moisture over the last 2 weeks has provided strong forest conditions heading into the fall season. Cattle prices remain at all-time record highs in the sale barns. Supply was 91% feeder, 4.6% slaughter, and 3.9% replacement cattle. Sure, let's scroll through here and do some comparisons. Let's go with some steers, medium to large, number ones. Let's start out with some 400-pounders. Let's pick some unwinged ones. Here's, there was 378-pound unwinged ones. Average price was $529. Top end was $588. Some unwinged on some 428-pounders. Average was $498.70, but they were anywhere from $465 to $565. And then some winged ones was anywhere from $462.50 up to $550. Average on them was $505, so about 7-8 cents different according to this, not necessarily to the sale barn you go to. That's his overall average on the state. Let's see here, heifers. Wait a minute, they skipped. What? Here we go. Some 600-pounders, unwinged, 680s. Here was the average weight, and they were bringing anywhere from 355 to 407. Some weaned ones was bringing anywhere from 361 to 430. So significant difference on your 600 pounds, like 20 cents difference. 700 pounders, we got any? Yes, yeah, there's some 727-pound average weight unweaned steers bringing anywhere from 335 to 465. And some weaned ones was bringing anywhere from 342 to 391. Per hundred weight. And there you have it. Okay. I got a call yesterday and I was wondering, where did it go? Online? Oh my God. New rule changes. Hang on here. I got it right here. I know where it's at. So suicide, cotton, new rules. There we go. I'm bringing it up. So there's some new rules in effect now for non-residents using public lands in Oklahoma. New this year, non-residents assessing certain public hunting and fishing areas for any reason must check in and out of the area. And most non-residents hunting game birds on a WMA must possess a game bird permit. The game bird permit costs $100, isn't available through the Go Outdoors Oklahoma license systems. Non-residents who hold a Oklahoma resident lifetime hunting license or lifetime combination fishing and hunting license are not required to purchase a game bird permit, but they are still required to check in if you're at hunting at a WMA. The new check-in rules are in effect to help the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation understand how public hunting and fishing areas are being used. More information, including a list of required areas, is available now at the wildlifedepartment.com check-in. The new check-in rules do not apply to Oklahoma residents. So that, it raised a ruckus with some people, and some people didn't care. And so check it out if you want to. Just go to the wildlifedepartment.com, oklahomawildlifedepartment.com. And if you're a non-resident, or my neighbors over here to the west and south in Texas, it's a whole new deal. So check into it for what it's used. They're just trying to figure out, because I can vouch, and I hunt other states, so I'm not dogging on this deal. But last year, opening day at Pack Saddle, I was there, and there was numerous trucks from every state imaginable. Mark has sent me what all states that they wrote down that was at Pack Saddle that the game wardens had been driving around checking to see where everybody was from. It's pretty interesting. Okay, and then another question I got over the weekend was, do you have to have steel shot to hunt dove? No, you do not. But if you're hunting on public hunting, you need to check the regulations on that WMA or wherever you're at. Some WMAs do require steel shot when hunting dove. But other than that, nothing's changed. Again, I must remind you to have your plug and your shotgun, unless you got an over and under like me. You don't have to worry about it. One in the chamber and two in the gun. Three max can be in that gun. So, and make sure you got a hip. The free weekend for hunting is over. It ended yesterday. So I come across this deal on social media, and I wanted to share this with you. Are you one of those guys that got caught fishing on a neighbor's or somebody's pond you weren't supposed to be? But check this out. This is pretty funny.
Who told you could fish here?
I thought it was state property.
State?
Yeah.
This?
Yeah.
State?
It ain't.
Hit the road, dude. This ain't no state property. This is private property. And he said, lock them up.
Oh, man.
Lock them up.
You ever got caught fishing on somebody's pond, trying to use it? Excuse, that's state property. That old man was, lock him up. All right, let's go ahead and take an OCA break. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant your fall cover crops
and set your fields up for success. We have the seed that you need to protect and enrich your soil all season long. And remember, we are proud Livestock Nutrition Center authorized dealers. Feed that keeps your herd healthy and strong. Stop by or call us today and get everything you need. SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City, Oklahoma, and follow us on Facebook.
That's the sound of James adding long-lasting Gain scent boosters to his laundry this morning. Several hours later, James sniffs the irresistible scent of Gain on his shirt. Gain. Several hours later, James has even caught the attention of his mother-in-law, and she never gives him attention.
Ooh, you smell amazing, James.
Oh, thanks, Mom. I love you, too.
I never said that.
Add Gain scent boosters to your laundry. Add joy to your day.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Your farm deserves only the best, and that's why Valley Genuine Parts are crafted to meet the highest standards to elevate your pivot's performance. Covering all your pivot needs, Valley Genuine Parts provide optimal operation and extend the life of your pivots. From drivetrain components to sprinkler parts, invest in the best for your farm. Valley is your partner in irrigation success. Stop by Knutson Irrigation or call 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts, all the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind.
I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 60 or 78 degrees in Freedom, Oklahoma. Here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. 64 is dew point, humidity 62, the winds are out of the south at 19, 10-day rain total, 95 one-hundredths of an inch of rain, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil, temperature 68 degrees, cooling off pretty quick, 7:56 is the sunset, 30% chance of thunderstorms and 82 for a high today, 40% chance of thunderstorms tonight, 62 for a low, tomorrow back to reality, mostly sunny and 89 degrees with south winds, 9 to 15 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 20. I just wanted to share this with you. I learned this on Tradio this morning. Thank you, Mr. B. Maddox from over at Dale Highway. If you get on Facebook, social media, it's called The Chicken Family Auction. And they have an auction coming up September 20th in Sayre, Oklahoma. And it'll be a chicken and miscellaneous auction. And so get your birds and miscellaneous ready. They're going to have an auction. Follow their Facebook page for more information. That's all I got. I don't have time to check in, all that other stuff. But we will see more coming on to that. Pretty cool deal. Somebody wanted to sell some chickens this morning. So get that going on. Okay. Let me open up there. There you go. So September is Suicide Prevention Month. International observance dedicated to raising awareness, promoting resources, and encouraging action to prevent suicide for 2025. Various organizations are focusing on themes of the connection, hope, and systematic change. There we go. We are stronger. The key themes this year, we are stronger together, connect to protect, changing the narrative on suicide. World Suicide Prevention is September 10th. Matter of fact, today, where did I see that? Today is, yes, today is 988 day. It's on September 8th. It's to raise awareness for the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. So if you know somebody or you yourself need somebody to talk to, from what I understand, this 988 is awesome. So if you get into crisis, call 988. And also coming starting today is the Construction Suicide Prevention Week. Takes place from September 8th to the 12th, focusing on higher than average suicide rate within the construction industry. So it's no joke. And the reason why is, So online therapy could be a tool to prevent farmer suicide. Experts say suicide rates amongst farmers are higher than the national average, says an expert. But new research shows that online therapy can help farmers with their mental health. Every 11 minutes, someone takes their own life. And the suicide rate is higher in rural areas than it is in urban areas. The exact rate of farmers who die by suicide is still unknown, says Rebecca Stevenson, a University of Alberta psychology professor. Research showed that suicide rate among those working in ag is higher than the national average. In 2016, the U.S. suicide rate among male farmers were reported to be higher than the national average. The high rate of farmer suicide means that many rural communities have a mental crisis on their hand, says Jeff Winton, a rural upstate New York dairy farmer and founder of Rural Minds, a nonprofit mental health organization. Winton, who recently lost his nephew to suicide, says the loss was unexpected as he and his nephew worked together on Winton's dairy farm. Farming communities should not only learn when someone needs to talk, but also know their resources to guide their needing support. Winton believes that farmers should be more open about depression, mental health, often a listening ear or a help a struggling farmer connect with mental health profession. I'm going to throw something in there. I know we have some younger people that have committed suicide, whether they're related, ag-related or non-ag-related. And somebody said something to me here about, a week or 10 days ago. That's why I kind of saved this week. And I'm going to get somebody on here in the next 2 or 3 days to talk about suicide among our agriculture people and veterans and stuff like that. But, you know, back in the day, I'm 63 years old. So I was going to the schools in the late 60s and all through the 70s. And, you know, we had buddies. We all had our buddies. We had our little clique, if you want to call it, little group of guys. And I can remember, you know, like, consoling into one of my friends about, this is going on, that going on. I don't remember any details on why, probably because I had 7 sisters and they were all picking on me mainly, but not really. I'm just kidding. I got good sisters. Not then, but now I do. But there's you could go talk to somebody. You could sit out there in the parking lot at high school or go to the park or go up park out here at the lake. Nowadays, it seems like these kids are not, most kids, not all, but most kids are not hanging out with each other. They got their iPhones, they got their iPads, they got these games at home. They want to go home and watch TV and, play video games. And I'm not saying that's the whole fault, but I'm just giving you some good examples. And you still have your little group therapies anymore. To me, you know, you don't see, if you see somebody hanging out at the lake late, it's usually on a Friday or Saturday night, and most of the time it's not good, but sometimes it is. But, you know, every day in a parking lot, you'd see a group of people, whether they was girls or boys, hanging out in the parking lot or over by the FFA building here in Elk City when the shop was right there northwest of the gym. You know, just had, or playing basketball on the school basketball courts, outdoor courts. There was always something going on. I just don't see a lot of that anymore. Might be wrong, but if you agree with me or disagree with me or got your thoughts on it, 580-225-9697 is the text line if you want to comment on something like that. So let's continue on. So who is at risk? There are a lot of studies that report on what might place farmers at risk, but we never really know what's going on in the farmer's life in the months of days leading up to suicide, says Stevenson. Farming is one of those many occupations where with the highest burnout and chronic stress rates. Most farmers are working towards two goals, trying to maximize production and maintain the farm. Stevenson said the goals are codependent and influenced by various unpredictable factors, including weather, commodity prices, animal health, change in family dynamics, and new government regulations. Each farmer experiences the same amount of stress, but not all have suicidal thoughts or behavior, said Stevenson. Stevenson says that the most at risk may be white male farmers, age 35 to 65. Her research found that within this group, farmers had experienced many stress points, such as financial strains without any relief, saw themselves as farmers. In addition, most farmers in her study reported they felt emotionally connected to the land that they are stewards of and struggled with envisioning themselves being able to make another career without agriculture. Many felt stuck in a hole that they couldn't escape, she says. For most, the feeling is an emotional driver for those who choose to die by suicide. A University of Illinois farmer study, suicide study, also found that older men and women with rural backgrounds were likely to die by suicide if they had health problems. At the same time, younger men were more likely to take their own life if they were experiencing relationship problems. And I just, I lost a really good friend here in New Mexico, a rancher, and he did carpenter work when he wasn't ranching. Lost him here just a while back, and he was ate up with cancer, and he didn't want to live through it, and that's the reason why he committed suicide. Wenton says that's a personal deal there. I didn't read that. That's personal experience there. Wenton says his nephew could have gotten the help he needed if the community had adequate mental health resources. Many barriers limit the farming community's ability to seek help. Rural Americans don't have the health care system that many urban and suburban areas do, says Wenton. Most practicing psychologists work solely in the metropolitan areas, according to the National Institute of Mental Health. About 65% of the counties in the U.S. do not have a practicing psychiatrist, and 81% of the rural counties don't have a psychiatric nurse practitioner available for a mental health crisis. More rural communities receive mental health care from their primary health care provider and work with a law enforcement officer during an emergency, says the National Institute of Mental Health. If you find a primary care doctor that you can get an appointment with, that doesn't mean that necessarily trained on mental health or what somebody could be struggling with, such as depression. Compared to urban areas, more rural areas that do not offer mental health services lack a choice in providers, says the National Institute of Mental Health. The limited number of resources strengthens the stigma that marks mental health in rural communities, and people can often feel ashamed to seek out the help that they need. I think that's a big part of it. The reality in a small town is everybody knows your business, so even if you decide to go and seek help, there's a healthcare provider that treats people with mental illness nearby. No one wants to see their pickup truck parked in front because it's a small town. All we know, and you know, we all know each other and why that truck's parked there, and et cetera, et cetera. So, would farmers benefit from online therapy? Yes, I think they will. During the pandemic, most healthcare professionals leaned on telemedicine as a tool to see patients. It's also been an aid in improving mental health care access for some rural areas. But it's not a silver bullet to improve rural health care, as many areas lack a strong broadband internet infrastructure. Farmers often struggle with seeking help for their mental health insurance and due to stigma. The key to eliminating the stigma of asking for help starts by increasing farmers' options to have a private and safe place to go when they finally seek help. This culture tends to emphasize self-reliance and privacy. But during the pandemic, there's been a shift of more people became more willing to talk about mental health. Cynthia Beck, a master's student in clinical psychology program at the University of Regina in Canada, saw online therapy could open the door for farmers seeking help for mental health issues. Beck, also a Canadian beef farmer, recently finished a clinical study asking if ag producers would engage in online therapy. Around 30 Canadian farmers participated in a 5-lesson, 8-week course with do-it-yourself guides and an option to access therapists via email or telephone. Beck said that 25% of the 30 farmers would drop out. That's what she thought, that they would drop out. To her surprise, her studies saw that farmers had an 82% completion rate compared to the general population in clinical research study, which had a 31% dropout rate. That's a major difference, and that's awesome, I think. Beck also found that farmers were interested in course materials. About 90% of the farmers downloaded all 20 guides from the course, she said. Farmers also said they wanted more time with the course's therapist. Producers told us they felt like they were speaking with a peer or friends because they felt the program completely understood them. One participant told us that engaging in the course gave them more confidence and improved their overall view of help seeking. Farmers are more comfortable talking to a therapist or someone who gets it. Beck said the study proved that online therapy is usable psychology intervention tool for farmers. Farmers expressed the course was worth their time and helped them feel less anxious and depressed. The only limitation was broadband access, farmer said. One farmer reported that he finished the course from the seat of his combine on his smartphone. This farmer told us there was the next button, a previous button, and a skip button. If you can auto-steer a tractor, then I'm sure I can run the site. If you see signs of someone on your farm feeling overwhelmed or just need to talk to someone, there is many resources available. The AgriStress Helpline is available 24/7. It's 833-897-2474. But you can also call or text the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline by dialing 988 or texting them. So if you know somebody, please do it. You know, about 3 months ago, I had my first therapy with the VA, with a psychologist, and it was interesting. I did. I felt pretty good talking to him because he doesn't know where I live or who I am. I don't know where he lives or where he's at. I didn't care about that. It wasn't even relevant for what we was talking about. But we had a good talk, and I told him a couple of things that happened. You know, everybody thinks that, like, for instance, me, Desert Storm Vet, that, you know, we kicked butt and took names over there, and we did. But there was lots of things went on over there that people, you guys didn't get to see on TV. So I discussed some of those things with him, and it went well. I felt better after that. I got a load off my shoulder. I'm a different person now, I think, because I was very short-tempered as it is. And so it was just an interesting conversation. So if you know somebody, whether they're a farmer, a rancher, somebody works at the feed store, or I can't imagine the stress on our medical field, nurses and doctors, and what they see come through hospitals and their clinics. You know, if you know somebody, 988, simple, 988. Tell them to call them. Give it a try. Here, you need help. I think you need help. Why don't you call and talk to these people? All right, let's take an OCA break. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
For those who don't know what they want, we show them around the showroom floor. We show them the pictures. And we show them different things that they can do. And that gets them started. While we're doing that, we get them to start talking about the people that the monument's for. And that helps us guide them to a better understanding of what they can do for people. Now, the ones that come in and they know what they want, sometimes they'll bring in sketches and have it all drawn out and everything. And we try to take that sketch and we try to show them, okay, we can do it this way. And show what's the most important thing down through the ages is going to be to them and guide them that way. Sometimes I'll give them exactly what they want, show it to them exactly like they want, and show them to how we would try to do it for them. And they'll end up with the one that we tried to do for them.
Willis Granite Products, willisgranite.com.
Introducing the new Dell AI PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra processor. It helps do your busy work for you, so you can fast forward through editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, summarizing meeting notes, finding files, managing your schedule, and responding to Jim's long emails. Leaving all the time in the world for the things you actually want to do. No offense, Jim. Get a new Dell AI PC at dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
My mom used to take me to the local dairy when I was a little girl, and I always was interested in learning where my food came from. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm from the city, but please don't hold that against me. We owned a farm in Colorado and again here in western Oklahoma. My name's Becky Brown, and my husband's name's Tony Tummins, and together we own BT Butchers, a mobile meat processor. We bring our trailers to you. Your place processed your way. Please find us at B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. That's btbutchers.com. We would love to help you feed your family. The short wait list and 2-day turnaround means we move pretty fast, and since we come to you, it really is convenient. Not bad for a girl from the city. We would love to help you feed your family.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I just love that Becky Brown commercial with BT Butchers. Talking to a friend the other day about he's got a cow that's got foot problems. And so you know, talking about maybe giving it Becky and her husband a try out there instead of taking a big hit at the sale barn and get them some hamburger meat and some roast and stuff. So it's pretty good. I think that's pretty neat. I like if he does it, I'm going to go watch her do it. I think it'd be pretty interesting to see her process of what's going on out there. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. Bessie, 79 degrees, dew point 60, humidity 53. The winds are out of the south at 18. 15 one-hundredths of an inch of rain so far in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 79 degrees. Sunset at 7:55. Decreasing clouds today at 84. A 30% chance of rain showers tonight, 62. Tomorrow, back to the real world. Mostly sunny, 89 with south winds, 10 to 15 with wind gusts up to 20. I want to share some stuff, a couple things that I have here on the text line talking about suicide. And it is a great subject. The major from Cooperton down there in Kiowa County talking about it. He shared this with me. He said, my dad was an Iowa farmer for 50 years. He was in the heart of the 80s farm crisis. He went to our family doctor who delivered me, he said, after years of my mom begging him to seek mental health help. And all the doc said was, Irv, you're just fat. Go lose some weight. He said my mom never forgave the doctor for that. So that's a good story out of that. But Major, I call him the Major. Joel's his name. He was a major in the U.S. Army. And he lives down there at Cooperton. He's a rancher down there now. And he reached out for some help after his career. There's no shame in it. There really isn't. I never did sink it because I didn't think I needed it. That was my deal. It wasn't because I was ashamed to go talk to somebody. I got lots of friends, and I do discuss some personal stuff to certain friends, but there shouldn't be any shame in seeking help. Guys, it's I know crop prices are low right now. Yes, cattle prices are good, blah, blah, blah. And you know, our economy and our farming area is a little different than most areas because we got oil field involved. And a lot of our farmers and ranchers, I'm not going to call them, I will never, ever call them hobby farmers because we have oil field jobs or other jobs and we farm on the side or we try to do them all. Farming's a full-time job with a job inside of it. So don't be ashamed. Like I said, easy number to call, 988 if you need some help or, you know, call buddy. Say, hey, man. We need to grab our fishing poles and go to that pond we don't have permission to go to and talk. And so just please, prices are low, inputs are high, and you wonder how you're going to make the next land payment and blah, blah, blah. So just it's important. And like I said, my really good friend up in New Mexico has a really nice ranch up there, and he was a bachelor, and he just he didn't want to deal with the pain and the agony of putting his family through his cancer. And he was done. That's all I can say. Okay. And remember, the whole month of September is Suicide Prevention Month. So share that with people if you would. A year. I knew it was coming. So when those workers in Colorado died here in an accident here a while back. They was in a closed space. Anyway, they shouldn't. They wasn't, from what I understand from certain stories, they weren't supposed to be in there or something wasn't turned on. So the gases took them over, and I hate it. They were kids all the way up to grown adults that were in there. When certain pieces of equipment need to be accessed, maintained, or repaired, it's crucial to the safety of the person, performance, and task that the power to those systems be shut off. For example, if a person has to enter a grain bin and the auger is accidentally powered on, the person in the bin can be sucked down into the grain and suffocated or entangled in seconds. One way to make it perfectly clear to other employees or others at the farm that the power is off for a reason and there should be a lockout tag out. Reminds me of my safety days in the oil field system. And all joking aside, it's for real. And employers must develop written procedures for each energy source that may be need to be locked out and communicate instructions to employees. And so it's just before performing the task, the person turns off and places a padlock on the energy isolating device. So there's all kinds of safety things. Guys, we're busy as heck right now. A lot of young adults out there helping dad and mom on the farm and stuff. Train them right. That's all I can tell you. Just like me, my big boxes for my irrigation wells are very accessible right there on the road, and I got locks on them. I don't want some kid come over there and open that door and stick his finger on a fuse or a wire got 440 on it. Won't be good. So just be safe out there. Use common sense. It's all common sense. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah American. God bless everybody.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.